Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today.
It has been an unprecedented year. Crazy. With all the
stuff.
Yeah.
It's unprecedented how many times we've actually heard the word unprecedented.
Our dream vacation was canceled.
You got to keep the job you don't like.
You know they can see you?
But let me tell you all the no's, friends. No going to restaurants, no movie theaters, no movie theater popcorn, no state parks, no going to athletic events, no church services, and no...
Don't say it. Don't.
Hey, kids! You've got to be more careful with the toilet paper! This is all we have!
All the drive-by birthday parties, graduations, baby showers.
I will say this. I felt a little awkward throwing out that baby shower gift in the front yard.
You weren't supposed to do that.
It just feels like a wasted year. I said it.
Yeah, there's just all the time at home.
Boom!
And all the time that we were made to spend together. Hey, honey! Honey!
Leave me alone!
All the heart-to-hearts. Mm. Goodness.
Speaking of hearts, our son, Jason, right over there, said yes to Jesus. Right at that kitchen table.
July 17th, 2020.
You know, I guess it's not really wasted time because God didn't waste a moment of it.
I think I have the answer to what I'm thankful for.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
Everything.
Everything.
Isn't that true? Wow, what a great thought for us today. Well, I'm just a pilgrim. Psalm 121 is our text for today. Hope you have your Bible with you. And all those at home, please find your Bible and follow along if you would as well. Psalm 121, the Behold Our God song. We're planning to sing that on the 6th, so we wanted to reintroduce that to us so we'll know it better for December 6th as we get closer to Christmas. So good singing that song. It's kind of like the modern day Handel's Messiah to me. It's terrific. All right, so all the sick folks at home, well, and all those who are not able to come yet, we're glad you're watching and we're praying for you as well. And we hope that you can recover, some who are battling different injuries and sicknesses. So let's go to Psalm 121. Did you know that 400 years ago this month, a old battered ship called the Mayflower arrived off the waters of Cape Cod in what is now the state of Massachusetts? And there were passengers aboard who were considered our first founders, or as Daniel Webster called them, our pilgrim fathers. President Quincy went on to say, Quincy Adams rather, went on to say that early European settlers, the earlier ones, they were traders and adventurers motivated by ambition. And they came principally to fish and to farm and to trap furs. But in contrast, the pilgrims braved the rough seas under the single inspiration of conscience. As Puritan separatists from the Church of England, seeking the freedom to practice their faith. That's what they came here for. It was for freedom of religion and freedom of conscience. They brought their Geneva Bibles with them, and they were escaping religious persecution from people like King James and others. These people, these pilgrims, were looking for liberty. And they distinguished themselves, as one person wrote, further by drafting a remarkable document to govern their community in a new world, the Mayflower Compact. In his covenant, the ship's passengers agreed to form a civil body politic of just and equal laws based on the consent of the governed to dedicate themselves to the glory of God and to the general good of the colony. I mean, that's what they wrote down. Then they come aboard, come onto land. They get here, and this is the Mayflower. Here's a rendering somebody has of the Mayflower. Well, before the pilgrims left, before they went on their journey, one of those of their number, Robert Cushman, wrote a disturbing letter to a friend. He said the outlook for their venture was very bleak. He said, if we ever make a plantation in the New World, God works a miracle. He said, considering how much food we have or actually don't have, and how ununited amongst themselves they were on that ship, he said, I don't know if we're going to make it or not. He said, I pray you, prepare for evil tidings of us every day. Pray for us instantly. I see not in reason how we shall escape. He was saying before this trip, it's going to be tough. I don't know how we are going to make it. Would you pray for us as we're getting ready to go? They were traveling. They were pilgrims. Traveling can be difficult. Now, in our modern era, even traveling can be difficult. Traveling is adventurous and it's fun sometimes, but it's also tough. It's difficult. Psalm 121 is a pilgrimage psalm. It's a song. They could actually sing the words before you. Notice the text here as we read. The top title there, does it say Song of Degrees? You see that Song of Degrees? Maybe it says Ascents, Song of Ascent, like going up. Maybe it says that. This word degrees means ascend. It means pilgrim. It means to travel. If you want to write that beside that, if you would, a Song of Degrees, it means pilgrimage or ascent. Here's what the psalmist said. Here's what the traveler said. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence is a question, whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121 is a traveler's psalm. What's this passage speaking of? Well, it's a pilgrim. Verse 1 is comprised of a statement, then a question. So the phrase, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, that's a complete sentence. And then he says, from whence, it's a question, whence cometh my help? In Hebrew, they do not have the punctuation marks like we have in English. And so whence is, every time you see whence, it's a question. It's a question. So he's asking a question. He makes a statement. I'm looking up to the hills. Where am I going to get help? That's what he's saying. Perhaps this traveler is looking up to the hills and he sees potential trouble. Where could he get help if there were bandits? If there were bandits, if there were bands of robbers in the mountains and in the hills, where could he get help? Think about why these people were traveling. They were going to Jerusalem. They were going to Jerusalem. They would take sacrifices. They would take expensive perfumes and oils, sometimes like the little jars worth a year's worth of wages. And sometimes they would bring animals for sacrifice, and others would bring coins and money and silver and gold. And as they would make this journey, they would look up and they would wonder as they're traveling, no matter where you come from in Israel, at some point, if you're going to go up to Jerusalem, you have to go up because it's just valleys all around it. You start to go up. And so they would look up and be looking out for potential harm. One person wrote about this passage, this individual psalm of confidence, a psalm that faithfully expresses trust in Yahweh, presents a series of statements of trust in Yahweh's protection and help. The psalm opens with a personal question and answer segment that establishes that the psalmist's help comes from the Lord himself, from Yahweh himself. Now look at chapter 120, if you would. Does it say Song of Degrees as well? chapter 120 to 134 comprise a traveler's songbook. I don't know if it was on scrolls or what, or if they just had it memorized, but all of these, chapter 120 to chapter 134, is a traveling, it's a pilgrim hymn book. They all say the same thing. It's the book of ascents. And every year, several times a year, for either Passover, Pentecost, or Tabernacles, or some would go for all three, they would travel to Jerusalem, and they would take this little hymn book with them, and they would sing these songs, reminding themselves that God will see us through on this journey. God will deliver us as we're going to give thanks to Him and offer praise to Him and worship Him. He will see us through on our travels. Now, most of them would be walking. Some would be riding on animals. The terrain would be going uphill. It was not necessarily a very easy traverse, if you would. And here's the psalmist. He says, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. You know, we need to look up sometimes as well. But he sees potential problems and potential issues ahead of him. Just recently, Whitney and I were out in the woods, and we were walking together, and we were going uphill, and I noticed when I was stepping up at one point, she was tapping me on the leg, and she was tapping me on the leg, and I kept looking up and kept going, and eventually, I paused for a moment because I was looking to see in the hills if there were any deer running around, so I was focused, like this, you know, and I was walking a little bit and take a few steps, and she kept tapping me on the leg, and finally she says, she gets my attention, I look back and she says, your boot, the bottom of your boot fell off. I didn't even realize, I was so focused on, what if there's something up here in the hills that I want to see, and I didn't see that. The psalmist is saying, he's looking out in the hills, he's looking up, he's looking around, and where am I going to get help? Well, Whitney helped me, but where's the traveler going to get help? We get help from, and he gets help from, the Lord. This is a great psalm of assurance that God, the keeper of Israel, would keep the traveler on his journey. J. Vernon McGee wrote, the old-time radio preacher, he said, his help comes from God and not from the hills. Absolutely. The help doesn't come from the hills. He's looking out for what's in the hills, but his help comes from God. The fact is, God can protect the weary traveler. Verse 2 and 3 make that very clear. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. In fact, verse 4 mentions the word keeping as well. And verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. God is the one who keeps us. It means to watch, to preserve. You could say that God is on patrol. The Lord is a watchman. He's an overseer. And he will not allow the traveler to be moved. Let their foot slip in verse 3. And God is never sleeping. He's always aware. He's always awake as to what's going on. He's a protector. He can protect by day and he can protect by night. In verse 5 and 6, it could be clear daylight. It could be the darkness of night when maybe more robbers would come out and God will protect. He is a preserver in verses 7 and 8. And these travelers could trust the Lord to see them safely to the temple and back to their homes. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Who is this God? The word Lord you see there is the word Yahweh. The name Yahweh for God is such an incredible name. The Jewish people would not even say the name. They took the spelling of it and made it even different. They wouldn't say the name. It was so sacred they refused to pronounce it. And so that's why they would take the vowels out. In the Bible, in manuscripts we find, those scriptures, they would take the vowels out and they would just almost use a symbol. And then eventually they would say, the Lord. But it's the name Yahweh. This is the self-existent God, the one who is the I Am of Scripture is Yahweh. So Christian travelers can trust God. Friends, you can trust God on your pilgrimage through this life. So I'd like to give you four tips for traveling pilgrims. Four tips for traveling pilgrims, for Christian travelers today. Because we are just traveling through this life. Friends, I hope that as a Christian you understand this world is not our home. We are just passing through. Amen. This isn't it. There's more to come. There's a future. We're just traversing this earth for a limited time. Four tips for traveling pilgrims. Number one, look up. Look up. We must look up. Look past the problems and the potential troubles of life. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. He's looking around, and we need to look ahead of us as well. Where are we headed as Christians? We're going to heaven. Heaven is where the temple of God is today. And of course, our bodies, we are the temple of the living God. But in New Jerusalem, that is the temple of God, because God himself is there. The presence of God is there. And that's our new home. In the future, we'll be there. In fact, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's where we'll live one day forevermore in eternity in heaven. God is at this temple, and just like these pilgrims in the Old Testament were traveling to the temple in Jerusalem to worship God, we are going to worship God once we arrive in that place in heaven. We'll worship and praise God there. But just like they would sing this song on the way to worship God and give thanks to God at their temple, we also worship God and give thanks and praise to God on our traveling as we're on our way to heaven as well. You see, we will praise and worship God forevermore in heaven. And as pilgrims on this earth, as we travel, we're awaiting our arrival in heaven. Some will get there sooner than others. Some will go in death. Some will go in death. Some will go on before us. A lot of us will go in a rapture, whenever that will take place. And the rapture will happen, a trumpet sound, we'll go up, meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. We're just traveling through. We're looking forward. We're looking up to where we're headed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ira Stamphill wrote the song, Mansion Over the Hilltop. You like that song? Back in 1949. Verse 3, here's what he wrote. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. Isn't that great? We got a mansion that we're waiting for, but we're pilgrims. We're pilgrims. He captured the idea of this passage very well. So look up. Here's traveling tip number two. Watch out. Watch out. We need to recognize road hazards. So just like the traveler here was looking around him, there is potential problems. Anytime you travel, there's going to be potential issues that may come up. In verses 3 through 7, the Lord will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. So watch out. Recognize road hazards. The fact is, when you travel, and as we're traveling, God is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he clears the road ahead for us. In verse 3, you get the idea of not being moved. You could say just in practical ways today that he clears the ice on the road. Don't you like it when you wake up on a Sunday morning and there's potential for ice on your way to church? No, you don't like that. I don't like that. It could happen, and it will happen perhaps in the next several months. Ice on the road. God goes with us. And think of this in a spiritual way. We're traveling to heaven. There's going to be areas where you could slip, where you could crash, where you could slide off the course God has for you. But you don't have to slide. You can rely on the Lord to see you through. God goes with us, and we do not need to slip. He will not let us be moved. He keeps us from driving off road, you could say, from verses 4 through 7, because God guards us. There will be obstacles in the road, but stay on the road. You know, whenever you hear people talking about defensive driving, and what if there's an animal in the middle of the road? You know, you don't want to swerve into oncoming traffic. You don't want to swerve over here. You just got to keep straight, right? Keep it between the lines. That's what defensive driving will say, and maybe you could swerve just a little bit, but you don't swerve. You keep it straight. You keep going straight. You don't want to cause more damage. And so stay on the road. Let God clear the path. And he can do it. He is the maker of heaven and earth. God is greater than any harm that may come. He is greater than the adversary, the devil, who wants to get you off track. He is more powerful. God is more powerful than any global leader, global government, any army, any leader on this earth. God is greater than that. Don't let things that are happening in this world today sidetrack you or divert you off the path that God would have you to go. God is greater. God is better than any sickness, any setback, any limp, any pain that you may be enduring as you're traveling. And as these people would walk up the hillside going to Jerusalem, most of them would be walking. Maybe you get tired on the journey. Maybe you get a little bit weary. Keep resting in the Lord. Keep relying on the Lord. Maybe you get some injuries along the way. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep looking out for those roadblocks, but trusting God for clearing the path for you. The fact is, evil will come. Problems will come. You know, just take a trip anywhere. And if you go for like an hour or two, you may almost always see somebody broke down or a wreck or some kind of problem on a journey. And you'll see that. I remember one year we were traveling to Ohio or Indiana. We were heading out west, and I think we counted like 50 cars off the road. We stopped counting after 50. There's just all these cars everywhere sliding off. And we watched two of them. One was ahead of us and one was behind us. I watched in the rearview mirror. You know, there's going to be people that slide off. There's going to be car wrecks. There's going to be obstacles in the way. But the Lord can see you through trials, through difficulties. Watch out, but rely on the Lord. Let him put the guardrails up so that you do not swerve off the straight and narrow. In verse 8, you got to love verse 8. God ensures us. He gives this promise, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Not just now, not just sometime, but all the time and forevermore. Better than car insurance. God delivers and he guarantees deliverance. He ensures us. So look up, watch out. Here's a traveling tip number three, clean house. Now, I don't know if we are just like crazy. Does anyone else do this? Before you go on a trip, you clean your house, okay? Okay, we're not just like out of our minds. Okay, so we clean everything, you know. We'll clean the toilets, we'll clean the shower, we'll clean the room, we'll get all the laundry stacked, we'll vacuum the floors, we'll mop everything. So whenever we come back, Is this your reasoning? Whenever you come back, all you have is the dirty laundry to work on. Everything else is clean. It's like, oh, brand new house. Smells good. Looks good. No mice came in and took over anything. You know, New York City, rats are taking over the city. Anyone read that? It's like there's garbage everywhere, and there's rats the size of bunny rabbits. That's about that big. And they see them in daylight. It's crazy. Aren't you glad you don't live there? Aren't you glad you live where you live? I'm glad we live here. So you don't want any rats taking over your house. You clean your house up. You get your house clean. That's what we do. I'm glad many of you do the same thing. Well, we're traveling to heaven. The temple of God is there because God is there. But what does the Bible teach us about us as Christians today? Ye are the temple of the living God. What? Know you not that ye are the temple of the living God? Several times in Scripture we're told this. And so you, as a Christian, are the residence of the immortal, eternal, all-powerful, amazing God. His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, lives in you, making you the temple. Where's the temple? In heaven. It's in your heart. It's wherever God is where the temple technically would be. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we're waiting for Christ to come back in our journey. Here's the next few words. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Not peculiar as in strange or weird, but different because of their lifestyle and choices. They have a love for God that's changed their life. They're zealous of good works. And the first part of those verses that I read, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we are to live. Can we clean up our temple today? Can we clean up our vessel that's traveling through? Well, we can't do it ourselves, but we can rely on the Lord to become more like Jesus each and every day. Each day on this journey, our lives should reflect Jesus, and our living should be more and more like Jesus every day, every day. More love, more mercy, more grace, more compassion, more kindness, more gentleness. These should be evident more in our lives. And so clean your house. Clean your house. Let the Lord change you. Once we arrive in heaven, that's when the change is total. You're not going to be perfect on this earth. They call this progressive sanctification, but the fact is we should be more like Christ every day. So as you read the Bible, let it change you. Let the Bible get into you. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, so when you're making decisions, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to live? And rely on Him and let Him change you from the inside out, like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, this idea of metamorphosis, letting God change us to be more like Christ. So look up, watch out, clean house. Number 4, lighten up. Lighten up. We're not settling in on this earth. We're passing through this earth. These travelers were just traveling through, and we're just traveling as well. What should we carry on our journey? I mean, of all the things we could carry with us as we travel through this earth, I'll give you at least one. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. Every day we have something to thank God for. And in everything, give thanks. We need to be offering praise and offering thanksgiving to the Lord, not just at Thanksgiving time, but every day. Can you offer praise to the Lord? Can you have praise and thanksgiving on your lips? That's something we should carry with us each and every day. But what about casting away some things that are not needed? I mean, are there some things that we don't need in life as we're traveling that could maybe even become obstacles in our travel to become more like Christ as we're going and worshiping God each day? Well, certainly there could be some things. As Christians, we need to think of ourselves as travelers passing through this sinful world, not permanent residents, but pilgrims on a journey to a better land. So let's travel light. Travel light. Maybe you feel weary right now. You may be carrying too much. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And what does He say in that section of Scripture? He says that his burden is light. It's light. Think of your life like this. There's a story told about some Christians who were traveling in the Middle East. They heard about a wise older believer in a few towns over. And since they were in that region, they said, let's go meet this Christian. We heard about this man, and let's go visit him and encourage him for a little bit. And so they went and found this man. They went into his little house. It was kind of like a hut over in the Middle East. It was kind of like a little bit of a hut. And as they came into this, it was kind of dark in there, and they looked over. There's one chair. There's one cot, kind of low to the ground. And there was one little table beside the chair. And there's one little tiny stove that he could cook on and also use for heat. That was it. As they were looking around, one of those Christians visiting this old Christian there in the Middle East, he looked over at him and said, hey, this place is very sparse. Where's all your furniture? To which the old Christian said, well, where's your furniture? He said, well, we're traveling. We don't carry any furniture with us. He said, we're far away from our home, so we don't carry anything. He said, exactly. He said, I'm just traveling through this earth. He said, I'm just traveling as well. I'm on a journey. I'm just a pilgrim. This older Christian understood some things about the Christian life. He was practicing a Bible principle, understanding that Christians must center their affections on Christ and not on the temporal things of this earth. Material riches lose their value when compared to the riches of glory. But we can get sidetracked, can't we? Oh, I need this stuff, things, more. Where is your furniture? Where's your furniture today? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. So if there's some extra things that's weighing you down, go ahead and cast that off. Pick up the mantle of, I'm going to keep offering praise to God each day, and continue to do so. Over 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. These are different travelers than the pilgrims, I suppose, at least the first ones. The first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles west into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles west into the wilderness. Why keep going west anyway, was their reasoning. These people had the vision to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles and thousands of miles to go across the ocean, and overcame great odds and difficulty in their travel with this pioneering spirit. But they lost that pioneering vision. They kind of settled down. They said, now let's just sit here and wait. With a clear vision of what we can become in Christ. No ocean of difficulty is too great, as one person wrote. We need to look at the Christian life today and see how we're just traveling through. But folks, don't just sit down and settle in. We're waiting for Christ, but we're waiting for Christ while we continue to walk and while we continue to serve, while we continue to travel through this life. So do you like taking snacks on trips? You pack some snacks? You do that? We've been packing snacks. Maybe you pack snacks. I like snacks, by the way. My kids had fun with me this week. Summer came up to me and she said, have you ever seen a white orange? I said, no, I've never seen that. I was reading a book. I was studying something, and she had this white orange, and she was chomping on something. She said, that's really good. I said, wow, I've never seen that. Let me have one. And I didn't want to stop reading the book. I said, shove it in. She shoves that right in there. It was not a white orange. It was a lemon. I chewed on that for a moment. I'm like, I don't think that's an orange. Whatever that is, it's not an orange. She got me good. That was fun. What kind of snacks do you take? What kind of snacks do you take on traveling, on a journey? Well, how about snacking on some faith? Snack on some faith. We need to believe God, looking to Him even though times are tough. Notice verse 1. My help, whence cometh my help? Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. Did the psalmist believe it? He believed it. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to stack on some faith. Take more Bible into you, and not just hearing it, but listening to it and actually knowing what it means and what it says, and then how to apply it in your life. Our help comes from God. Remind yourself in the Christian journey every day. I don't know what to do. The road ahead is uncertain. This is a difficult time in my life right now. Maybe it's a difficult time in your life today, 2020. Oh, it's a wasted year. No, it's not a wasted year. It's been a year where you are either closer to God or you're not. Where your faith is greater or you haven't been feeding your faith and it's less. That's what 2020 has been. So snack on some faith. Our help comes from God. I look as I'm traveling. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep reminding myself and keep believing the Lord. Snack on some faith. Then spit out some fear. Like I spit that lemon out. Spit out some fear. Have no fear. Rest in God, even when the path is rough. And notice how the psalmist here in verse 5, he says, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. So the idea of protection, and it's always available by your right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So whatever possible problems could happen, we should not fear. Do you get travel anxiety? I don't like flying in airplanes. Anyone like, you love flying airplanes? I've done it a lot. I don't really like it because I have all kinds of head issues when I do. I'm not talking mental health necessarily, but just the pressure just really gets to me. So I don't like that. And sometimes I get really worked up if I think about it too much, like we're going on this trip. Do you get anxious sometimes before traveling? Maybe you get like that. We need to rest in God. We need to have no travel anxiety, even in times of uncertainty. Keep going. Three times we're told, God will preserve, God will preserve, God will preserve. God will see you through on your journey to heaven. Will there be difficulties? Yes, we've already mentioned that. There will be. But God preserves us from all evil. Just like verse 7 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. So snack on faith, spit out that fear, have no fear, and then chew on some thanksgiving. And why'd you use the word chew? Because we need to just keep chomping on it, like chewing gum. It should be on our lips all the time. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm not just saying superficially saying, well, praise God. All, you know, some people just always saying, I mean, actively, purposely, really in your life, genuine, I am thankful to God. Keep on rejoicing. Keep on giving thanks to the Lord, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but in every day, with every step. I don't like this setback. I don't like this sickness. This job is terrible. I can't believe this happened in my home. You know, some of those things will come. But I'm going to keep thanking God. What does the Bible say? In everything. In everything. It doesn't say for everything. It says in everything, in every circumstance, in every situation, in everything, whether it's ideal or not, we can give thanks to the Lord because God is God. I think ultimately, our thanks are not for the four, like for the stuff or the things or even the circumstances and events. Our thanksgiving is God. It's God himself. It's like the priest, when they didn't inherit any land, what does God tell the priest in the Old Testament? He said, I am your inheritance. You know who your inheritance is? You know what you thank God for every day? Not just the stuff and circumstances. God, thank you for being my God. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for your promises in Scripture. Thank you for being who you are. And let's praise God a long life's way. Yes, these travelers would sing Psalm 121, going to praise and worship and thank the Lord there at the temple. And we are on our way to heaven. So every day, let's rejoice. Let's give thanks. Let's give praise to God along our journey as well. Christian travelers, trust God while offering thanksgiving. Let's take some time to pray together and give thanks to the Lord. How's your faith today? Before we pray, just a couple questions. How's your faith? Those watching at home, how's your faith today? Are you increasing in faith? Are you trusting God for each and every day? Or have you been paralyzed by fear? Do you have traveling anxiety where it's hard for you to take the next step God has for you on your journey? God will preserve you. Do you believe that? God will see you through on your journey to heaven. And then everyone watching at home and all those here on this campus, are you being thankful each day? Oh, I know there'll be moments where it's hard to be thankful and it's just tough, it's just terrible. But would you, by God's help, Lord, help me to be thankful, more thankful each day. Let the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to his name, be continually on my lips. Would you ask the Lord for that today? Lord, help me to be thankful more and more each day. And then, have you for yourself trusted Christ for salvation? Have you believed the gospel for yourself? Have your sins been forgiven? Are you absolutely sure you're traveling to heaven? That Jesus is preparing a mansion for you and you'll be there with God forever one day? If you're not for sure, please talk to me after the service. If you're online, just send us an email or a phone call. Someone on this campus, if you're not for sure about eternity, you don't know for certain your sins are forgiven, why not be saved today? Why not confess your sin and believe the gospel and have salvation for yourself? Trust him today. Let's take just a moment and visit with the Lord before we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey that you have us on, this traveling, going to be with you forever in heaven. We thank you that you protect us along the way. You preserve us. We know that as Christians, it's a for sure thing because of faith in Christ, because of what you've done. We have eternity with you in heaven as our home. Our sins are forgiven. Lord, for each day as we take steps of faith, as we walk to become more like Christ, help us to be rejoicing. Let us be more thankful in everything each day. Lord, increase our faith. Encourage those right now that may be expressing some doubt or discouragement. Maybe they have some fear or anxiety. Let that be erased by them knowing more your love and grace, mercy and compassion, your care for them. And Lord, let us practice giving thanks to you each and every day. Lord, thank you for what you taught us. We rejoice in Christ today, and we praise you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just a pilgrim. Are you just a pilgrim? I like that theme in Scripture. There's so many other psalms that we could go through, but folks, Christ could come back at any moment. So let's keep our eyes and our ears all wide open, looking and listening for the rapture. All right, so here's just a couple things as we conclude. We do have a brief business meeting, so we'd like to begin that in about 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome to stay. It's only going to take 4 or 5 minutes to go through this. So if you're not staying, you are dismissed right now. And you can play some music or something, gentlemen, while we wait for just a moment. All right. We're glad everyone's here today, so thank you for being a part of our church service.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.